Welcome to Sports Talk right here on 93.5 FM. It is a day of celebration. We're going to celebrate a win. Coach Seaton's first win of his head coaching career. Although it's only two games deep, I didn't want to make it sound like he's been coaching for 20 years. But celebration, college football is back.
Yeah, it's waking up in the morning and seeing game day.
Yeah.
Kind of gives you a little jolt.
Ooh,
it's better than the coffee.
I couldn't find all my shirts. I got a daughter that steals my T-shirts and sleeps in them. And then I never see them again until she comes over with one of them on.
Yeah, I mean, I have that problem too.
Yeah.
Must be traditional.
Yeah, it's a girl thing. I don't know what it is. But last night we went to Giles County. First time since, what was it, 75 that I said that I was there. Back in the bowl series when, you know, high school used to have bowl series. And we went over there and played the Butter Bowl. Played BGA, Battleground Academy.
I think Carl Millett, when he played, he got some awarded. And he may have been like defense player of the game, something like that for that Butter Bowl.
Yeah, I don't think there was a whole lot of defense played in that Butter Bowl. We got beat up pretty bad, if I remember right. No offense to anybody that was playing.
So you're saying that Carl wasn't as good. They just found somebody to give an award to on
No,
that
I
side.
Just remember BGA being really good back in those days. They were the stuff back then.
Had runs where, you know, they had a state championship in 2007 or 9, yeah. Something. I think they had that on their scoreboard.
There was a really good football team that went over there. I can remember being there, I mean, very slightly, but Mayo was doing the ball games back in those days, and I traveled with him, and Coach, we got to do those games.
Coach Rick Barker was coaching.
He was.
That team. Yeah.
Had a little bit of different setup last night. That was a nice stadium. They've done a lot of renovations since we've been there in 75. Press box was outstanding, and it ended up being like a freezer box for me and Kurt. We were so glad to get outside where it was 90 degrees. We could.
Yeah, it was funny. Me and our voices were starting to shiver when we talked. It was about 41 degrees in there.
Well, they kept it cool, that's for sure. But it was good facilities, good press box. That's the thing when you do what we do, you have no idea from week to week when you go on the road what you're going
to
be in.
You know what you get when you go to Lexington.
Well, they got a new stadium now. Yeah, they've redone theirs and flip-flop. You know, where the old home side was is on the opposite side now.
Well, good deal, because it was like three people in a phone booth.
Oh, yeah, and they just stare at you like, why are y'all here? You know, so. I let them know a few times while we were there.
Yeah, that good rivalry. We're looking forward to that game this year.
Uh-huh. And talking about the win last night, Hardin County gets a big win, 17-14 over Giles County. In a very good football game, and one that a lot of people were interested in seeing how the Tigers would bounce back from the opening week, and I think they answered that question last night. We'll talk to Coach Alex Seaton here in just a minute about last night's game. Also, we'll be back on the road next week. We'll tell you where and who and what to look for in that game coming up a little bit later on. We got scores from last night. Also, we got your SEC lineup for today. A lot of football games going on today, starting early. Some good ones starting early as well. And who knows what else we'll talk about. That's what we do right here on Sports Talk each and every Saturday morning. I want to remind you real quick, if you like picking ball games, go over to Poppy's Barbecue in Crump, Tennessee. They got their pick six going on. They got two games going on. Now, you can get there before 10:45 and pick the early games, and then they got another game, another pick six going on if you can get over there before 2:30 and get the 2:30 games and the late games. So you got two opportunities to
What do you
win.
Do?
You just go over and pick. They got six games out there. You go out there and pick the winners, pick a score of a game for the tiebreaker, and you win a poppy pack.
And who gets the closest wins the poppy pack.
Exactly.
Sounds good.
Yep. I'm heading over. I'm getting my tailgate on here in a little while.
Well, can you fill out like one for me too, and that way you get.
We'll
two.
See. And they're then, listening, so we'll see.
We'll split the poppy pack.
We'll see. We got our tailgate on last night too. Had the windows down driving back home.
Yeah, well, we sure didn't want the air conditioner on.
No, we didn't want that. Got an early start last night. But anyway, go over there to Poppy's Barbecue in Crump. They wanted to be a part of Sports Talk, and I appreciate them being part of what we're doing here. And be sure to ask them about their Labor Day special as well. Also, I want to remind you that if you're hurt in an accident, whether it's a car, truck, motorcycle, or a wrongful death, you need to give my guy, Justin Reynolds, a call at 731-925-7000. Or go to helpmejustin.com. Justin Reynolds Law Firm, right downtown, 55 Court Street. Justin will get you back in the game and try to help you navigate through the legal world. If you have an unfortunate sudden injury that gets you out of the game, call my guy, Justin, 731-925-7000. Let's take a timeout. We'll be back with Coach Alex Seaton when we return. This is Sports Talk right here on 93.5 FM. I'm Steve Cornell along with Kurt Carroll. Back in a moment. Welcome back to Sports Talk right here on 93.5 FM. I'm Steve Cornell. I'm Steve Cornell along with Kurt Carroll. Hey, I want to tell you about a book that is out, 101 Seasons of Hardin County Football, on sale now. You can get these at Home Banking. And coming soon, they'll be at Hardin County Bank as well. And you can call Ty Jones. I think he can hook you up. David Long as well can hook you up. But they're $40. Make any checks payable to Hardin County High School football. But it's 101 seasons of Central High School and HCHS football. I'm sitting here looking at my copy that Mr. Long had passed on to me. And looking forward to looking at all the history, all those that played and all the teams. And there's a lot of data in here. And, you know, Kurt, David, and several people, but David being kind of the one that got this thing going, put a lot of time and a lot of effort to do a lot of research to get the information in this book, because, I mean, there's pages and pages of history.
Well, another thing, too, is He was a football player. He understands the game. So it reflects a lot of that in the book. Is you're not getting it from a ghostwriter who was a basketball player. You know, it came with the experience of a football player who put that in there. So it's definitely turned towards the football family.
Yeah. And it's a nice copy, a cover. It's got the stadium, football players running through the tee, and then got some pictures of some of the older players and coaches and cheerleaders on the back page there. And like I said, a lot of history. Get yours today. 101 seasons of Hardin County football on sale now. Let's bring Alex Seaton in. And Alex, last week, just couldn't get quite over the hump this week. Everybody was interested to see how that we go on the road. A quick turnaround. You go to a very good football team that over the last 3 years have been to the semifinals, had things rolling over there. And I was telling Kirk on the way over there after looking at Giles County and kind of looking at their seasons before now, kind of mirrored us a little bit in the number of wins. They've had several in the last 3 or 4 years, you know, 10-win seasons, 11-win seasons, 12-win seasons. And it was a good matchup once we – saw, Kurt mentioned this several times during the game, size-wise, speed-wise, we really matched up well with him. Excuse me. There you go.
Yeah, good football program that's had quite a bit of success. They, I would agree that they're very comparable to us as program-wise and just the player-wise, especially last night, that they were pretty good size up front, on both sides of the ball and get their athletes the ball. They ran the ball a whole lot more this year than what they have in years past, but very similar to us, they're going to try to do what they're good at to get their guys the ball.
Before Kurt gets a hold of you here in a minute, I was thinking about, you know, this week of practice. What were you really the point of emphasis on? Was it on the defensive side more, on the offensive side? Kind of how did practice go, and how'd your kids handle it?
Yeah, so, yeah, to be honest, we tried to keep it as far as emphasis on one particular thing or one side of the ball or other. I mean, it was still, 50-50. So, as I said last week, we had to go back and make sure and work on the mistakes that were from last Friday. And I thought the kids really did a good job with that and responded well. Wasn't anything that was too drastic. It was just pay attention to the details, play your technique, and tackle better defensively, take care of the ball offensively. And I thought that both those areas improved.
Well, I mean, the things that were obvious was you played faster. I mean, to the man on the field, it stood out to me from the opening kickoff. The whole team played faster. I mean, and where you had a lot of solo tackles in that game last week, you had multiple people at the point of attack and helping on the play. I mean, all the way around. I mean, you looked like a different football team in that game last night. And I don't think you were playing with the speed, but like Steve said, and one thing that y'all are kind of a measuring stick, that team kind of mirrored us. They were probably a little bit more power football rate, had a trend compared to us. But all in all, if you can beat yourself, then you're winning the game. I mean, it's like – when you're playing a team that has that same equivalency on offense and defense, and then you win it, then you're playing above 500 at that point.
Right. Yeah. Very, very comparable. They, as you said, power, more of a power run game. They're back, I would say, running back more like 220, 225, more of a bruiser, going to try to wear you down. And they were somewhat successful with that on us defensively. That, you know, it's taxing trying to tackle a kid that size over and over again as many times as they ran him. But yeah, kind of what you said to begin with, that was a point of emphasis as well, is that it's not each individual having to go out there and make a tackle. It's got to be all 11 getting to the ball. That was something we talked about all week, and making sure that playing the technique initially, but you know, ball goes away, that we're trying to find the football. We're trying to swarm to it. So I was proud of them for that.
Well, and another thing, too, in the game that I noticed was on the offensive side of the ball, they pretty much loaded the box. I mean, there was usually seven guys, you know, basically in the expanded zone there. So, I mean, there was but you were still able to get some explosive plays and Saunders especially did his thing. I thought he was probably as creative off his feet than I've seen him, because he's not really a bouncer, you know. But last night he found green grass, and I think he had an outstanding game. I don't know how many yards he got, but in comparison to them and the length of runs, I know he scored once on about a 50-yard run. But boy, he was a weapon for you again last night.
He was, and you were right. We had an idea of what they were going to try. I mean, as many times as we ran it, as well as we ran it last year, they were going to be loading the box. They're a good coaching staff, been around, and so they're going to try to take away what you want to do. And they did a pretty good job of that. Especially, they made some adjustments in the second half that caused us some fits. But they were pretty solid defensively.
Well, you brought up what we were going to get into, and I guess we can go ahead and do that.
Well, we'll take a timeout before we get into it. You don't do that. You pointed at me. I didn't know what you were doing.
Well, I was pointing at you because you could go ahead and run that commercial, because he brought up the adjustments in the second half, and that was one of the things that we wanted to talk about.
Okay.
So
appreciate, yeah, I appreciate
it. You run with it, Steve.
Yeah, all right.
It is your show.
Kurt's producing the show all of a sudden. He's pointing at me. All right, we'll take a time out. You're listening to Sports Talk right here on 93.5 FM. Back with Alex Seaton, head coach of the Hardin County Tigers, when we return. This is Sports Talk on 93.5. Welcome back to Sports Talk right here on 93.5 FM. I'm Steve Carnell along with Kurt Carroll. We got Coach Alex Seaton in the house. We're talking about the big win last night over at Giles County. So carry on, my friend.
Well, I mean, Alex brought up, you know, making the adjustments in the second half. And the game was a tale of two halves. I mean, really just completely shut them down in the first half. Scored 14 points. Like I said, Saunders had the long run. You were able to put long drives together. Not a lot of penalties in the game. That's something you ought to feel really good about. They played a clean ball game. I don't think there was any turnovers. There was a lot of positives. But in the second half, they flipped the script. I mean, we were ahead 14 to nothing, and they come along and put 14 up on the board. And I just wanted to get to you. You were talking about they made adjustments. What happened in that second half that slowed you down or gave them some enthusiasm that was able to let them get back in the game?
A couple of things. One, I think that they played with more energy in the second half. They must have got after them a little bit. It seems like the linebackers were flying around. But they started bringing a little bit more pressure as well at times that was able to stymie us a little bit. I thought that we had a couple mental mistakes in the second half that, like you mentioned, that we played pretty clean in the first half, but we got crossed up on a play call. I know in the third quarter where lines running one way and there was miscommunication, quarterback and running back going the other way, and just stuff like that just can't happen in the second half of a game, much less or any time really. But I believe it was on third down. Just little things like that. They did not make any just major changes, but I thought that they were flying to the football a lot more than what they were doing in the first half. And those backers feeling downhill, like we're running zone, things like that. You know, linemen not having their heads up, picking them up,
right.
You know, things like that. And, but still with the third quarter, it was still a wash. Defense was still holding up. They get the ball moving. We'd get a stop. But fourth quarter came around. I think part of it was, defense at that point had been on the field a lot in the second half, and you know, they were able to get a little momentum going and move the ball on us and got a couple scores. So,
what was it like on the sideline? I mean, did you see any panic or worry in the players? Did the attitude change any in that situation when they were starting to, you know, because this is a team, a lot of new guys, a lot of new starters hadn't been in those situations. And I always wonder, were they in that uh-oh mode or had their head straight?
I think for the most part, everybody was still – locked in and ready. I mean, I thought we responded well, you know, once they go down and tie it with that offensive series that we had, which was crucial. I was proud of them for that, you know, bad stuff was happening offensively. We couldn't get the ball rolling, and we get the ball back with, oh, I don't know, 6-7 minutes and put together a drive and get down there in the red zone. And we kicked
well, football. And another thing, too, that I noticed last night was we had several of those third and seven, third and six, third and five, and you're real successful timing on your out routes just beyond the stick. There, we probably made three or four first downs throwing the ball, and I thought your quarterback was a lot more accurate. I think he looked like he understood more about protecting the football, mm-hmm. because when it was nobody really open, he made throws that only we were going to be able to catch. He didn't underthrow. I know he had one or two in that game before, so the quarterback looked more comfortable and had more fire in him, you know, like he wasn't thinking all the time. He was just becoming more like instinct. And so, yeah, and the other thing, too, probably one of the best catches I've ever seen in a high school football game when White went out yep. there and drug a toe completely parallel with the ground. He was probably 3 yards out of bounds, at least his upper body was.
Yeah, it was impressive. I was right there on the sideline by us. Crucial situation. It was a big-time catch for sure.
Yeah, I mean, that was – you may get to see one like that in college today on some of those college games today, but – that's what it looked like. I mean, that was part of that final drive that we kicked the field goal that he made that catch.
Yes, yeah,
that's what I thought. So I mean, not only a great catch, it was a great catch in a important time in the ball game.
Well, you were talking about the mood on the sideline. We had something defensively happen, and we were talking about during the game. I don't know if it was their first score or led them to their second score.
It was their second score.
They snap it over the quarterback's head. He's fumbling around out there trying to pick the ball up. Everybody was just standing up and nobody was moving. Kind of what happened, or did they think a whistle blew or what?
I think part of it was the guys we had in there were just gassed at the moment. And I know one of them didn't see it. He thought that he was being comboed. He thought so. He was trying to hold his gap, and then he got everybody else out of position right there. There was one guy that was making an effort to try to get up there, but yeah, that'd be a topic.
Yeah, but it wasn't just the D line.
It was everybody.
Yeah, everybody. Like I thought it was they had blown the whistle and they.
Well, their offensive line didn't do anything either. Everybody just kind of just stood up at the line of scrimmage, and he's back there fumbling around, picks it up.
Yeah,
it was kind of bizarre, especially the way it turned out, where it was like he was beginning to panic there, and then he realized that
there ain't nobody here.
Yeah, and. Yeah. of course, something like that, and when it turns into a scramble drill, I mean, DB see the ball on the ground, and you know, they're do I go get it? Do I hold? And that's kind of what happened is we got caught looking, trying to figure out whether to go get it, whether to stay back, and just got out of position.
Well, he got it that big slot receiver. That dude, I think I read 6'2", 6'3", went about 230.
Yeah.
Man, he was huge and had great hands, too. Yep. And once he caught the ball, he could run.
Yeah.
Nobody really wanted to come up and hit him right in the thighs because he was a big kid. But I just wanted to ask about that play because that was a crucial time as they were coming back and all the momentum was going in their direction. And then you have that and we're like doing the call. What's going on? What are we doing? It's like everybody just stopped. But I think it kind of
– we were trying to fool them.
Yeah, well, yeah. I think it kind of freaked their offensive line out too because I don't know that they knew what happened.
No, I don't think so.
It was a weird play.
It's like a trick play that didn't work, but then it did, you know.
The busted plays are always the best sometimes. But, and they go down and score. But go ahead. I just wanted to ask about that because that was kind of a freaky deal there.
Yeah, we didn't know what was going on. But getting into the fourth quarter, they score two touchdowns. We're not getting as many people to the ball. And I looked at Steve and I said, we look tired. And then I got to thinking about the substitutions in the game. And there wasn't a lot. I mean, I knew that you hadn't been able to substitute, especially in the second half when it was getting tighter and tighter. And after they posted that first score in the second half. And I was just curious. Number one is the depth question. And how do you develop depth? And I guess it's a easy answer. You get them there during the season because a lot of guys that you're having to develop really hadn't played a lot of ball. But do you want to get to a rotation where you're, this guy's going to sub at X point in the game, and we know he's going to be in three series, and then we're going to rest him. Or is it just by feel? I mean, like, I see that guy's tired. I can tell. I got to get somebody in there. I mean, how does all that play into the coaching side of it?
Yeah, I think that ideally that's the way we would like to get to it. Taking linebacker, for instance, you got two middle backers. Once we get to a point where we can get a second or a third, technically, or even a fourth, that, you know, all right, here's my two starters. You know, you're going to go every other series rotating in, or maybe every third series rotate in right here to give these guys a break. But still working to get to that point where we're comfortable with it. And then kids are doing a good job and getting better in practice. But similar, like on the back end, like Elif, who played nearly every snap of defense, and then on the flip side, playing every snap of offense. We did spell him some last night, but corners the same way with Ruddle. And so we've got some spots that we're working on creating some depth. So in that situation, you know, you get late in the fourth that you've got some guys that with a little bit fresher legs.
Yeah, I mean, you could kind of see it, but, I mean, it's hard. What you need is a bunch of those, like Colorado's got that Hunter.
Yeah.
I think there were 120 snaps in the game.
Yeah.
Offense and defense combined, and he played 118 of the 120 snaps. You figure that one out, then you're going to have it made.
Then he goes and does a podcast.
After the game?
Oh, yeah. He always does that. He did last year in a onesie. It's pretty entertaining, though. He's a pretty entertaining guy.
I just really don't know how to respond to that.
Well, you've been in a onesie, you know. Hey, yeah. Before we go to break, I want to remind you, if you or someone you know has been hurt in a car accident, Justin Reynolds focuses his practice on representing clients who have been injured in a car, truck, or motorcycle accident, and families who have lost loved ones due to a wrongful death claim. Call Justin at 731-925-7000 or go to helpmejustin.com and let Justin Reynolds help you navigate through the legal world. Justin Reynolds, injury lawyer and a proud sponsor of Sports Talk. And we appreciate Justin doing that. Also, I want to remind you the Poppy's pick six. Get a chance to win a Poppy pack, two of them over there. I think you still got time. What did I say? You need to, the early games, you got to be over there by 10:45. Late games, be over there by 2:30 and get a chance to win a Poppy pack for your Saturday tailgate party. And this is football Saturday, and you need to tailgate and tailgate with the best food around. That's Poppy's Barbecue. And Crump, ask them about their Labor Day special. They have hooked up a lot of meat and sides and buns just for you at a cheap price. So go over there and get your Labor Day on with Poppy's Barbecue in Crump, Tennessee. All right, let's see here. Let's take a time out. When we come back, we'll talk more with Coach Alex Seaton. Also, we'll look at the scoring plays, and we'll take a look at scores from last night. That's all headed your way right here on Sports Talk, 93.5 FM. Welcome back to Sports Talk right here on 93.5 FM. I'm Steve Cornell along with Kurt Carroll. We're in the studio with Coach Alex Seaton. Just got a text, Kurt, from Poppy's over there. They're listening, and he said we're fixing to open up so everybody can come over there and do their pick six, get their tailgate party. There's some early games coming on at 11, so they're going to open up at around 10. Or you can call ahead at 731-610-0307. They'll have everything ready for you when you get there. Be sure to do the pick six. So, hey, we're influencing people now.
Well,
you didn't like influencers last night. We talked about that. Well, we talked about a variety of things on the way home. How did we get on influencers?
I don't know. You know, after one influence video, I'm pretty much, that's enough influence.
Yeah, but that's what we do here.
But right? I tell you what I can say. Yeah. And I don't know anybody that's been to Poppy's that didn't like their barbecue. And – if we were as good on the radio as they are barbecue, we have mate.
Well, I like their catchphrase. You know, like you can smell their butts from miles away. and after a hot day of golf.
Yeah, we stop a lot of times coming back from that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's my go-to on Saturday mornings. That's for sure, especially during football season. Especially when Claire's here and she plans everything for everybody, and then she goes over and spends about $80 with my call.
You never, you never have calls when you had $80 worth of barbecue.
Yeah, that's true, too. That's true, too. It gets eaten. But anyway, head over there. They're going to open up early. You can smell their butts from miles away. Yeah. You'll smell what they're cooking. Can you smell what I'm cooking?
Well, I think we need to change the subject.
Yeah, we do. All right, Alex Seaton's in here. Alex, one thing I wanted to kind of hit on, and we talked about this last night. Me and Kurt talked about it on the way home, too. Special teams played really well in the two games, especially last night. Arusha?
Aketsa. But, yeah, that's well, – that, that's.
What's his first name?
Aketsa is his first name. And
Arusha is his last name?
Yes.
That's what we've been calling him.
Yeah. I want to tell you what, though.
Aketsa.
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 You make enough game-winning field goals and you kick the ball good all the time, everybody's going to learn how to pronounce that name.
Oh, exactly. Well, you know, the first game, his extra points, we were talking about, man, he's got a good leg. I mean, they're going through with authority and accurate. And then last night, the same thing. His kickoffs, he moves the ball around. He whatever it is that y'all are wanting to do at the time, his extra points. There's no doubt. And then I wanna say something about Carter Pigg too. Punting, he punted the ball well last night. There's a couple of times where we were back in. Deep in our own territory, and he flipped the field on them a couple of times. So,
And White makes a fair catch.
Yeah.
And I stood up, you know, gave him the high fives when I saw that because their two previous punts had rolled out about 15, 20 yards. And at that point in time of the game, it was important to catch that ball because we caught it around midfield.
Yeah.
And I sure was glad to see that. Special teams was big in the game. The thing I wanted to ask you, though, was the field goal. Now, I know that probably hadn't gotten a lot of attention in practice as much as some of the other aspects of the game, blocking, tackling, that kind of stuff. But it was like he runs out on the field to kick the field goal, and somebody's got the tee, and they turn around and hand him the tee, or they hand the holder. It was one of the two. And they put the tee down on the ground where they wanted it. And then he's like walks back. When he turns around, the ball's being snapped. I mean, it was like he didn't line it up, or it didn't seem like he had time. It was like.
Well, the play clock was running. And so I'm saying, let's go, let's go, let's go. Because we had taken our time a little bit out there getting set up. But yeah, it didn't faze him much. He booted it.
Well, if you do it like that, he doesn't really have time to think about making it or missing it because
just reactionary.
Once he turned around and got still, the ball was in the air, and he said, "Well, okay." And
that reminded me of the game, and you'll know this. I couldn't think of the kicker last night, but the game we won at Springfield in the playoff game, we kicked the game winning field goal, and Matthew said. He had no idea the kicker if that was a game winner or
didn't
not.
Know the situation he thought we.
Who
scored.
Was that?
Jose Martinez,
yeah. And he kicks it. Everybody's celebrating, and he's out there like, it's just a field goal. It's an extra point. No big deal.
But yeah, I wanted to brag on the special teams as well. I thought we were good and. All phases punt could especially late they were bringing some pressure and we could have picked it up a little bit better, but Carter did a good job of getting the ball off. I thought our coverage on there, Gabe Eliff is our long snapper, and him being able to get down the field was effective on them. But talking about punters and kickers, we have been blessed. So since basically camp, Tyler Lorenz has been coming out and working with our kickers. every other week, which has been a huge help for us. I mean, he's spends all practice time when he's there with them working on different stuff, which has been huge. We've got three different kids that are working at it. So, and then punting wise, Blake McAdams has been coming. He came throughout the summer and comes once a week and does some stuff. So I appreciate both of them for the time that they have put in with both of those groups. So it's showing up now.
Well, they had a great kicker last night too, as well. Left footer. He could boot it.
Yeah, and that was the thing, is they were in his wheelhouse range when they were going to kick that field goal to tie the game, and it getting blocked. And who was it again? You said got the block. Yeah, I know that.
Tayshawn Johnson.
Tayshawn gets the block, and then Razback falls on it. Yeah. And
seemed like it laid there for 30 seconds. He did a good job of getting on it.
Time changes in that situation. It does.
On film, it didn't seem near as long as it did on the field when we watched it last night. I'll say that.
Let's take a look at the scoring plays from last night. Hardin County in the first quarter, they get on the board with an 8-play drive, a big drive, after they get a 3-and-out. Giles County got the opening kickoff. A 66-yard drive, Jacob Saunders, 48 yards out, extra point good, and we get off to a good start, 7-0 lead.
Yeah, good drive, good few plays anyways. Offensive line was really good on that drive early, and Jake had a good run there.
Tigers going another long drive in the second, go 12 plays, 71 yards this time, and Ivy gets a tush push from behind and goes into the end zone, 3-yard touchdown run, 14-0. That was a halftime score.
Yeah. Once again, another good drive, 12 plays, just working our way down the field there. And I thought we've done pretty well with our quarterback sneaks, getting good center quarterback exchanges and getting good push. So something that we haven't done a ton of, but we've tried to start working more under center stuff this year because of the personnel, and I think that's benefited us.
The third quarter was kind of a not such a thing of beauty for either team. Couldn't get anything going offensively. It turned into a more of a defensive game then we go in the fourth quarter, and Giles County gets on the board first. They go 5 plays, 71 yards. Their big running back Oates goes on a 2-yard run. It's 14-7. And then they get it back after we couldn't do anything with the ball in our offensive series. They go 2 plays, 48 yards. Oates gets a big run, and it's 14-14 at that point. And all the momentum we talked about is switched over to them. They got excited. The sidelines was excited. The fans were back into it. And we were reeling a little bit, to be fair.
Yeah. They once they got a little momentum going, for the most part, you know, the crowd was, you know, kind of a non-factor over there. We kind of controlled the game up until that point, and they had some juices flowing over there for sure. But proud of the way the guys came out after that score offensively and pieced something together. We talked about earlier, like some guys stepping up and Lamarin's catch on that drive to keep things going and us getting down there and able to get that field goal.
Well, we did what we had to do. We get the ball. We go on a 10-play drive, eat up a lot of clock as well, 80 yards, and then Aketsa, 23-yard field goal. It was right down the pipe. He could have kicked it from 40, I believe. And they go up 17. We go up 17-14 at that point. You talked about Lamarian's big catch on third down. We made some crucial third down conversions all during the game. Third and five, third and six, things like that kept drives going, kept their defense on the field. And then they go on a 5-play drive. We hold them on third down. They decide that they want to attempt a field goal. I think it was going to be a 31-yarder from the right hash with a left-footed kicker. I thought that was in our favor there. And then we get the big block. Tayshawn comes in. It was a high snap. Took them a minute to get it down. The timing was off. And
I don't think though, with the push that you had, I think if the timing had been right, it hit us like in the chest. We were already back to the holder.
Yeah,
it was. They just demolished that right their left side of their line.
And watching the film, on the two previous scores that they had, Tay had done something very similar. Obviously, being that close, get the ball a little higher, coming off his foot and all, that he was pretty close the other two. He'd put that guard on the extra point team on his back the two previous extra points and then came back with it again. And kind of the way we design it is we're trying to blow those two guards up by the long snapper and bring the guy standing over the center, skirting through either side. But Tatis did it all himself, really, on that particular play. But great special teams play in a crucial situation.
Yeah, and we could run the clock out and win it 17-14 over at Giles County. Jacob Saunders, a big night last night. I thought Brody grew up some more last night, handled the pressure. We've been in some pretty good situations the last couple of the first two games. And we've seen a little bit of everything. We had some breaks go our way, too, that didn't go our way in game one. I also thought Adams at linebacker played a good game as well, made some tackles. Him and Oates were added all night long, and their tailback, what did I say, Kurt, 5'11", 220?
225.
Yeah, 225. Yeah. And as Kurt said, he didn't look for a space to go to. He looks for somebody to hit when he gets in the hole, and he was a good running back. And I thought he played well, and I thought Pig played well defensively too. And you could kind of see there toward the end, they were tired. They've been out there a while, especially a couple of them have been out there most of the night on either side of the ball.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. And like I said earlier, when you got a kid like that, I mean, you've tackled him, it wears on you, much less just being on the field that long.
Yeah, well, that's old. You know, those old NFL games, you know, by the end of the game, they're not wanting to tackle him anymore.
Yeah.
And he was a thick body, and he was punishing. And the one time he got free and ran like about 40 yards, he had speed, too.
Yeah, he was faster than what you would think.
Yeah,
just looking at him.
That kind of surprised me. So he was the real deal that you had to deal with. I just think that game last night was a big win. A win's a win, but sometimes your first win on a long road trip after losing a game and you got question marks and you come back and how you win that game and you grind it out, I think it's a good win for the guys and for the coaching staff. Everybody needed some confirmation that all that hard work all year, you know, paid off. And I think that changes their perspective too from here on out. You know, they want to win the next one and the next one and the next one because it felt a lot better than it did last week.
That's right.
And so I think it was just a big win all the way around against a pretty good football team.
Let's take a look at some scores from last night. Crockett County, an opponent of Hardin County, is coming up a little bit later. They defeated Ripley 23-14, Haywood 46, MBA nothing, JCM 30, Southside 14. That game was played on a Thursday night. Northside 55, Liberty 6, Milan 44. Chester County 14, Riverside 35, Lexington nothing, and the rivalry across the river, Adamsville 35, McNary nothing. Next week, we get South Gibson heading over there for the first time in Medina to take on South Gibson. They lost the game. I didn't see their score from last night.
I think they won 28-20, if I saw that correctly.
Yeah. They get a win their first win last night as well. So Tigers even up at 1-1. We go to South Gibson. Trying to remember what we saw over here last year when they came to us. They had suffered a couple of injuries, I think, to a quarterback and to maybe a running back.
Yeah.
And then I understand that their quarterback got hurt again in the Milan game.
I don't know if he – I think they made us have more of a wildcat style and then a more traditional quarterback that they'll use them both a little bit that I've seen. I haven't watched a ton yet, but it's more of they put a good size kid that played outside linebacker for him last year. He's a pretty good athlete, good size, and they'll just kind of run downhill with him, different formations, and they'll do some shifting and try to create confusion with that. And but they want to run the football. The little bit that I've seen, they haven't thrown it a ton I mean, I imagine, to be honest, it'll probably be very similar to the run game that we saw last night, maybe not, just more with the quarterback, more so than handing it off to a good-sized kid. But I'd say they're going to be comparable size-wise to that running back.
Congratulations. That was one of the first times, you know, there's not many teams running that power offense with a lead back and, you know, two back set. You don't see that a lot, like the old ISO plays, you know. Mm-hmm. So that was something that I guess you practiced for or thought about. No, you said they'd been running those three backs all.
Yeah, so what we had seen on film for all their scrimmages and then last week was a similar style of offense, but, you know, different formation. They had 11 back there as the main lead back who, you know, we talked about a minute ago, 6'3", 230. And then they had another fullback behind him leading for that tailback. Right. So it was a load in there, but went a different route. So,
they never did go to that three-back set.
No, that's what I never
did.
The
whole game.
That was one thing. They as much subbing in and out and everything, they go from empty to flank set where they got everybody in there tight like that. I mean, they were in and out of stuff. It was a little different. It's kind of wild how they just mass sub in the middle of they run it on first down, then mass sub, go to empty, and then they get right back out of it. And it was right. A lot of in and out of stuff.
Well, and that's where that genius coaching comes in, be able to pick up on those things in a game.
Yeah.
Well,
that you weren't expecting.
All I know is they're 0-2 and we're 1-1 and we're heading to South Gibson next week.
Good win. That was a big win. That was a good win.
Alex, appreciate you coming in. Congratulations to you and your staff and your team on like Kurt said, a big win over at Giles County against a really good football team. We'll head to South Gibson next week. Air time will be 6:40. Kickoff time right here on 93.5 FM. We'll be at 7 p.m. We're going to take a quick timeout. When we come back, me and Kirk will look at the SEC schedule ahead for today for your football Saturday. We'll be back right after this. To Hardin County High School football, it's a beautiful copy. Everybody that is interested or have played the game or had family members that played, this is your opportunity to take a look at the history of Tiger football. It's done outstanding. A lot of stats, a lot of team information, and the cover is great, front and back. Good job by David Long and all those that were a part of that. So we appreciate him doing that. As we'll bring Kirk in. He's over there. Kirk, we got a show going on.
Oh, we got a show to do?
Yeah, he's over here drawing up plays for Alex.
Well, actually, no. I'm getting Alex to educate.
Alex is educating you?
Yeah. Well, heck fire. It's his job.
Yeah. He does this to Matthew, too. He did that to Matthew.
Well, the games actually changed. You know, we played an old 50 defense, and we wanted to contain, not let anything get outside and push everything to the middle field. Now, you know, you get in the 4-3, and we were playing a five-man front. Now it's four, three or four linebackers, and they want to push everything to the sideline. It's a different terminology, you know, and we're kind of rooted in that old school stuff.
Games today. Great lineup coming up.
I'd say.
Georgia and Clemson at 11 a.m. And kind of got a rooting interest here is Will Gilchrist.
We got a connection.
He is the director of special teams now.
Got promoted.
And Will there at Clemson, they're playing this one in a remote location in Atlanta, Georgia.
Remote,
out in the woods somewhere.
In the wild.
Out in the wild, yeah. They said, we're going to do we won't do it a home game for Georgia. We'll just have it in
Atlanta. I think Will's done all the right things. It's been a good setup for him at Clemson. I think Dabo's taking him kind of under his wing, and it's really – you know, we got Will, who's done a great job – moving up the ladder at Clemson. But you've also got the thing that just blew my mind the other night was Bo Hardigree.
Yeah.
And that played at JCM. You know, his daddy coached. And He's like the offensive coordinator at one of the pro teams out west. I don't know if it, maybe the Chargers. And I'm sitting there going, several of these West Tennessee boys doing well.
Yeah, doing really well. We were talking about one last night, Trey Smith.
Oh, yeah.
He's doing really well.
Yeah, and his opponents don't think so because he's knocked about three of them out this year.
Yeah, he's a mauler. Miami and Florida at 2:30, Eastern Kentucky at Mississippi State this afternoon at 5.
Eastern. Okay, if you say so.
Western Kentucky will Western. Be at Alabama. Western. You got to remember where we're at. We're talking to the masses here. Western Kentucky will be at Alabama at 6 p.m. Furman will be at Ole Miss at 6. And here's a good game, Notre Dame at Texas A&M at 6:30.
Who are you picking in that game?
I think Texas A&M, they'll be at home. I think really and truly in this playoff format, you need Notre Dame to lose as many games as possible because they've got it. The fix is in to try to get them in because they're not in a conference.
Yeah.
So, you know, they lose a couple of games, they're pretty much on the outside.
No man is an island.
Exactly. But you got them. That'll be a good game tonight. Alabama A&M at Auburn at 6:30. And then Penn State and West Virginia, that's another game. That'll be a good game, too. They're renewing an old rivalry. It's going to be in Morgantown.
They're hyping that game, too.
Our game, the Mocs of Chattanooga, a very good football team in their division, playoff team last year, will be headed to the Hill to take on the Balls at 11:45. And everybody's anticipating this season for UT. Nico at quarterback. A lot of talk about the defensive line, the number one player in the country at defensive end.
Pierce.
Of course, we're always talking about our DBs. That seems to be the topic. And I think, too, at running back. We're going to be a little bit small at running back. We'll see how that works out. Your guy.
Yeah. My guy?
Yeah. You used to talk about him all the time.
Well, I just like he's shifty. But
he's little.
He's got great feet. Yeah, he's not a big running back.
And they've talked a lot about the receivers, too.
He's bigger this year than he was last year.
Our big tight ends. We got tight ends that came in through the portal. We've got some receivers that come in through the portal. They're really high on the kid that came in from Tulane.
Well, it's like
Brew McCoy's back.
Well, and like Latrell was telling you, you know, they're three deep on the defensive line. And that'll play big in games going down the stretch.
Yeah. I thought it was interesting in talking to Latrell the other day. He came by the office, and we were just talking about the game coming up. He got a big old grin on his face. I mean, he loves Tennessee. And we were talking about the DBs. And at safety – I said, you know, they got a walk on at safety. He said, yeah. And he said, he's not the most athletic guy that you'll see out on the field, but he said he's got one thing that nobody has on that defensive side. He said he's highly intelligent, and he knows where everybody's supposed to be. And that's why he's playing.
Yeah, and I read somewhere in the DB room they asked the question about him, and every one of them said he's the guy we asked what to do because – He knows our job and everybody else's job.
Well, you know, sometimes you wonder, what's that kid doing out there? Why is he starting over, you know, somebody may be more athletic, faster, a little bigger? Well, somebody's got to line everybody up.
Yeah, I mean, ideally you'd want 11 like that.
Yeah.
You know, but that doesn't ever happen. And I think they respect that too from both coaches and players because – there's a lot to know in those college playbooks. And I think they respect somebody who has that kind of knowledge because they're sitting there going, I wouldn't have known where to go if it hadn't been for him.
Yeah.
And that earns you a spot.
Yeah, exactly. Before we get out of here, the Vol Network is fixing to take over with their pregame show. But I just had a thought come to my mind. The game last night, going back to Hardin County's game last night, what was your biggest takeaway from week one to last night?
Well, I think a question mark after week one turned into a win. And so, I mean, they needed it. I mean, everybody, you know, new coaching staff, new set of starters, pretty much. And they needed to prove to themselves that it's in them to win a grinding game like that. And it was close and came down to the last play of the game, basically. And they get the win. They found a way to win instead of finding a way to lose.
Yeah.
And I think that always makes you better.
And being able to hang on, that's got to be a big confidence builder too, because you could see the thing changing, and you could see the body language changing, and you go, okay, here we go. You know, they're going to come back. It's on the road. This is kind of a script, but, they hung on for dear life.
We had several guys last night patting their helmet in that fourth quarter, and they had played a whole lot of snaps. And that punishing ground game that they play at Giles County, it'll wear on you. I mean, that's common knowledge that you can't find a linebacker or a defensive back that won't tell you they get tired of hitting that 225-pound guy all night. And but like I said, finding a way to win. I thought we got really conservative in the third quarter. We really weren't. It was like we were playing safe, you know, football. We had that lead. They hadn't done anything on offense against our defense. And I think that – and I think it's good to play conservative in situations. But as that ground and pound that they played started getting to us, they started changing the momentum and being able to get that blocked field goal and win that ball game. When it was over, you know, you actually jumped off the ground when they blocked that kick. It was fun watching them win that ball game.
Yeah, it was. It was exciting. I had a good feeling, but I thought he was going to pull it to the right. I didn't know that we were going to block it. I just thought, and when I saw the high snap, it was like,
well, we both put a crook finger on him, you know.
We did. We put the Armstrong crook finger on
him. Yeah, we did. We put the crook finger on him, and we didn't know it was going to affect the snap and everybody else.
However we can do it to help them win, that's what we did. But we got to get out of here on this Saturday morning. I want to thank everybody for tuning in, especially all of our sponsors. And also, I want to remind you, if you get hurt in an accident, car accident or work-related accident, give Justin a call at helpmejustin.com on the web or call 731-925-7000. Justin will get you back in the game, get some money back in your pocket, and hopefully get you in the right direction as you continue your life. Sometimes that happens. Accidents happen. You need help with the legal world. Call my guy, Justin Reynolds. 731-925-7000. Also, Poppy's Barbecue Pick 6. It's going on now. They're opening up probably right now. You can head over there, pick some games, get a chance to win some Poppy Packs. Also, ask them about their Labor Day special and start your Saturday tailgate party with some great food. There's some great games on tonight and this afternoon, so you're going to need some food if you do it right. If you do it the right way, you're going to have some tailgate food.
Yeah, and my wife's out of town, so I may.
Well, you need to go.
Yeah. I need to go. I need to go. You're right.
You need to go over there. And also remember the 101 years of Hardin County High School football is on sale now. $40 payable to Hardin County High School football. We got a copy here. It's outstanding. Well done, and a lot of history of Hardin County sports. Get your copy today. Check them out at Hardin County, our home banking, excuse me, and then coming next week, I think, to Hardin County Bank as well, or you can call Ty Jones or David Long, get a hold of them, and they can get you hooked up. But anyway, all right, we got to get out of here. That's enough rambling on. Thanks to Ashton over there in the studio, Coach Alex Seaton for being in, and we'll be in South Gibson next Friday night. Airtime 6:40, kickoff time 7 p.m. We'll be right back here on Saturday morning with Sports Talk at 9 a.m. So for now, stay tuned for the Vol Network as they get you ready for Tennessee and Chattanooga at 11:45 right here on 93.5 FM. Enjoy your football Saturday. Have a safe Labor Day weekend. We'll see you next Saturday at 9 a.m. Go Tigers. Go Vols. Have a great Saturday.